Thank you for taking time to listen to this week's message from First Orlando. You can find even more content, including video archives of this and other past messages, at firstorlando.com. And if you're in the Orlando area, be sure to visit us sometime soon. Now, enjoy this podcast from First Orlando.
I ran out of that grave, did you? Anybody here in a grave? I can give you one reason you shouldn't be. His name is Jesus. He is the resurrection and the life. And he came to set you free from whatever grave you've allowed the world to put you in, whatever grave the enemy has you in, whatever grave your own doubt, your own shame, your own sin has imprisoned you in. You know, Easter is an incredible day. I mean, we celebrate the greatest truth the world has ever known. It's the one defining moment in history. But what I find is a lot of people say, well, but that happens for others, not me. I know it's a good story, but, you know, I really can't change. My marriage is going to be the same as it's always been. I'm always going to be the same. I'm going to struggle. I don't have options. Do you remember what Spider-Man said in the second movie? You have a choice. I mean, we all know you always have a choice, but we choose to believe lies that say things will always be this way. And when you believe that, you come to church on an Easter and you celebrate, but you walk out the same way you came in because you think it's not for you. It can't be different for you. And so you settle, we settle for something that is far. If he is alive today, and he is, and he's here, there is nothing impossible for God. There's nothing impossible. It doesn't matter what it is. The proof of that is the resurrection of Jesus, who overcame death. 3 days in the tomb, spent a Friday hanging on a cross. Why? For his sin? No, for our sin. And they took him down. They laid him in the tomb, and it was done. And then came Sunday morning, and he walks out of the grave. And when he does, there's this incredible, I mean, Mary is there. She goes, tells the disciples, and they doubt. They're not sure. Are you sure? Do you believe he is the resurrection? If you believe it, then run out of your grave. Let the past go and be resurrected. You know, resurrection is, the definition is something that was dead was brought back to life. And that's what Jesus can do. We're going to meet him on the pages of the story where he says, I am the resurrection and the life. So if you've got a Bible, go to John chapter 11, okay? Chapter 11 of the Gospel of John. This is a story about a man named Lazarus. Okay, Lazarus was a friend of Jesus. Mary and Martha and Lazarus, they were family, brother and sisters. And Jesus heard Lazarus was sick. But in Jesus' mind, he had a plan and he delayed. So by the time he gets there, Lazarus is already dead. He's been in the grave 4 days. It was in that moment that Jesus speaks, I'm the resurrection and the life. And he asks, do you believe this? And then he does something that I don't know how in the world you could stand there and see it and not believe. He calls Lazarus from the dead. And Lazarus comes out of the grave. Now, that was not a resurrection like the resurrection of Jesus, and here's why. Lazarus might have gone to Starbucks the next week, but he was going to die. He was not resurrected to live forever. He was resurrected to die again. So some call it a resuscitation or a healing. But let me tell you what I call it. I call it what John calls it, a sign. Did you know that John only chooses 7 miracles that Jesus did? When he tells the gospel in the Gospel of John, he chooses 7 miracles. Jesus, I mean, we know of 35 miracles that he did, and I'm sure he did a lot more than that. But John chooses 7 miracles. And he doesn't call them miracles like the other writers call them miracles. He calls them signs. You know what a sign is? Let's say we want to go to Buc-ee's. with the rest of the world, okay? You see a sign on the interstate, it's all over the place. How many of you have been to a Buc-ee's? Let me see. Raise your hand. My goodness. They've more been to Buc-ee's than church. I mean, come on, man. What's the deal with that? So let's say we want to go to Buc-ee's and you see a sign on 95, Buc-ee's, 5 miles or whatever. Do you pull off at the sign? Do you pull over to the sign and just stand there? Like, where's the gas pumps? Where's the beaver nuggets or whatever that stuff is in there? No. It's just a sign. A sign points to something bigger and better. The healing of Lazarus was pointing to something bigger and better, which would be the resurrection of Jesus. And Jesus did it to help them understand that. I think of the healing of Lazarus or the raising of Lazarus kind of like a trailer of a movie. Have you ever seen a trailer of a movie and go, man, I want to see that? Well, the healing of Lazarus was the trailer. The movie was coming the next weekend when Jesus walked out of the grave. So read it that way. Jesus is using this to point to something greater. And as he's pointing to what he was going to do, keep in mind the reason John tells it. By the way, Matthew, Mark, and Luke don't tell this story. One of the things I'm going to do in heaven is I'm going to find Matthew, Mark, and Luke and say, what were y'all thinking? The man came out of the grave after 4 days, and y'all didn't want to write about it? They don't tell that story. They tell some other ones, but only John tells this one. And I want to show you a quote that helps me understand why it's important for us to get this sign. Paul David Tripp said it this way: this miracle, the healing of Lazarus, and ultimately Jesus' own empty tomb shows us true hope that what we live with today will not always be. What we live with today will not always be. You know what that tells me? There's hope. I don't have to stay the same. My marriage doesn't have to stay the same. My family doesn't have to stay the same. My life doesn't have to stay the same. Why? Because of the resurrection of Jesus. Anything is possible. God can raise me back to life. And so for us, as we read it, this is our sign that God can do anything in your life today. I'm going to read chapter 11, verse 17. Now, when Jesus came, he found Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. And Jesus said to her, Martha, your brother will rise again. And Martha said, I know he's going to rise again in the resurrection on the last day. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And she said, yes, Lord. I believe that you're the Christ and the Son of God who is coming into the world. When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary and said, the teacher's here and he wants to talk to you. And when she heard it, she rose quickly, went to him. Now, Jesus had not come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha met him. And when the Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw her get up and go out quickly, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Is that not the second time we've heard that? Both of them asked the same question. Now, I don't want you to raise your hand. How many of us in this room, how many of you on the stream have ever thought, God, if you'd have been there, my mom wouldn't have died. My daughter wouldn't have passed. If you'd have been there, Lord, I'd have gotten that job. We always do that. We just think if God had been there, it wouldn't have turned out this way. You know what's cool? He was there. And he's doing something you can't even imagine. And that's exactly what Jesus was doing here. They both asked, Lord, if you'd been here, this wouldn't have happened. And then Jesus, seeing her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit, greatly troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? And they said, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept. So the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them, well, could not he who opened the eyes of a blind man also kept this man from dying? And then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave. A stone lay against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said, Lord, by this time there will be an odor. He has been dead for 4 days. So Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you've heard me, and I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me. And when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come. It's really just two words, Lazarus, come. And the man who had died came out. His hands and his feet were bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth, and Jesus said to them, unbind the man and let him go. May the Lord add his blessing, and may the Lord do it again today. It's time to leave your grave behind. Listen, in the same way that Jesus called the name Lazarus, he's calling names this morning, and he's calling you to come. What's keeping you? Why would we not run out of the grave? Maybe it's belief. Let's go back to what he asked Martha the first time. Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and the life. By the way, we've been in a series here called Jesus Is. And basically what it is we're taking the seven sayings of Jesus about himself in the Gospel of John, and we've used a weekend on each of them. Like, for example, I am the bread of life. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. So we took all seven. This is the last one. We just thought it fit the day. I am the resurrection and the life. So this is what Jesus said. I'm the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? He asked her that. It's the only saying of Jesus when he would say, I am something. It's the only time he ever turned and asked the audience, do you believe this? So I think we got a question to answer today. Do we believe this? You believe he's the resurrection? You believe he brings dead things back to life? You believe you can run out of a grave no matter what grave it is? If you believe, you will see the glory of God. Now, here's what's interesting. She believed that her brother was going to rise again at the end of time. I know one day he's going to rise again. What about today? I mean, I know one day it's all going to work out. We always tell ourselves that. You know, I know one day it's all going to be okay, but I just can't believe it. Why is it we trust him for eternity but not for Tuesday? He's alive. He's here. He's here today. Yes, one day he's going to make all things right, but he is here today. Do we believe that he can do it today? Or maybe we believe it for everybody else, but not us. Well, I'll give you three reasons. You got to believe. And the first one, it's not too late for you. It's not too late for you. Number two, you're not too far gone. And number three, it's not the end of your story. I believe this, every one of them. It's not too late for you. What was it that both girls said to Jesus? If you had been here. Translated, that means you're late, Jesus. Why weren't you here? Did you know Jesus actually delayed? In the first part of the gospel, chapter 11, he delays going. It's like he knows what he's doing, and he's got a plan. You know, the worst thing you could ever say to me if I go fishing with you, and I do this a lot with people, the worst thing you ever say to me is you take me to your spot, and we're not catching a thing. And then you look at me, and this is what you say. Oh, David, you should have been here last week. I hear it all the time. Oh, you should have been here yesterday. It's not yesterday. It's not last week. It's today, buddy. Where's the fish? And I just know that those girls felt this. If you'd have been there, Jesus, this wouldn't have happened. Well, you know what? He was there. And he is here. And what he was doing then is what he was doing in that story. He's doing things right now you can't even imagine. I remember a pastor friend of mine got asked this question by a father who had lost his son. He said, hey, preacher, where was God when my son died? And my friend looked at him and said, he was the same place he was the day his son died. He was in heaven working all things to good and causing this world to come to a place to bring him glory. I just believe it's never too late for you. Today is the day of your resurrection day. And today, for those who believe, everything changes. Don't be talking about yesterday or last week. Let's talk about the moment. He is here and he wants you to have a life change. Second thing. You're not too far gone. Man, we hear this all the time. Did you catch what Martha said when they went out to the tomb? When they went out to the tomb, Jesus is wanting them to move the stone. And she goes, no, wait a minute. Jesus, he's been there 4 days. He stinks. Now, the background of that, they believed that when a body was placed in a tomb for 3 days, the spirit hovered. But on the fourth day, as decay set in, the spirit would leave. Now, that was just an old belief they had, probably even in the days that this happened. So she was honest. He stinks. God, I mean, Jesus, there's no reason to roll the stone away. Man, he stinks. Any of you got a marriage that stinks? Any of you got a life that stinks? Any of you know a friend that stinks? Don't look at him right now. That would not be a good thing. You know, things that stink need a resurrection. And aren't you glad the resurrection and the life showed up this morning to change the stink and to change their life and your life? Man, it's true. He was stinking, but it's never too far gone. You're not too far gone. I've seen couples. I remember a couple that came in, and I'm not really sure why the counselor sent them to me. I guess to do last rites because they were done. And they were telling me about their story, and it was a mess. And I mean, I just said, well, do you believe that God can change it? No. I mean, we believe it, but it's not going to happen. Can I tell you today, that couple is happily married. They have a family, and they have never looked back. Now, how does that stuff happen? People that you and I give up on. There are people sitting in this room today that were on the street, and they had everybody give up on them. But guess what? They're here today. Their life has changed. You know why? Because it's never beyond hope. You're never too far gone. When they rolled that stone away, was there stink? I don't know, but there was a dead man that got up and lived. That's what the story tells us. So trust me, if your life stinks, you need a resurrection today. You need Jesus to come in and change you. And here's why. Because it's not the end of your story. It's not over. I know you can look back and see what he's done or see what you've done and how messed up it is till today, but what about forward? Do you know what he wants to do? Do you know what he's going to do? Nobody there knew what was about to happen. In fact, the Bible says that he goes out there. First of all, they see him troubled. He was angry. I just personally believe he was angry at death. He was angry at anything that hurts his children and takes away from the plan of God. Guys, death was never a part of the plan. Let me remind you, when God created Adam and Eve and placed them in a garden, there was no such thing as death. I mean, it was perfect. And so everything was great until what? Sin entered. When they rebelled against God and said, no, we're going to eat of that, even though you told us not to, something happened that changed forever. It changed our relationship with God. Sin came between us. It changed our relationship with one another. That's when they knew they were naked. That's when they looked at each other with shame. So when that came in, so did death. And I believe on this day when Jesus saw what death does and he saw the grief, he was angry. Can I tell you today, some of you, this is the first day, first Easter, since you lost somebody that you love dearly. This is the first. How many of you have said goodbye to a family member and you've buried them since last Easter? This is the first Easter without them. Let me see your hand. Wow. For those of you who raised your hand, trusting that the one you lost was a believer and was one of faith, can I tell you they're having the greatest Easter they've ever had? They are in the presence of the one who is the resurrection and life, and there is this incredible sense of it's okay. And here's Jesus in this moment. They don't know it's okay. They think it's disastrous. He's opening a grave. The guy's going to stink, but they have no idea what's coming. And Jesus wept. That's the shortest verse in the Bible. That was my memory verse as a teenager growing up. When my parents would look at me and say, hey, say your memory verse. They were thinking I was going to pick Ephesians 2, 8, and 10. No, I picked Jesus wept. That way I could check that box. I'm good to go. Jesus wept. Why did he weep? Grief. He saw the grief of the people. And he saw what death had done. But the next thing he did, he just said two words, Lazarus, out. Lazarus, come. And immediately, I mean, just imagine. I just think that's probably got to be one of the coolest moments. I'd love to have been there. A fly on a tomb that day or something. I don't know. I would have loved to have been there. Because can you imagine when he said his name, people are going, what? He just said his name. And then all of a sudden, they're looking in that tomb. It's a cave. And all of a sudden, the darkness kind of gives way to this shadowy figure. And by the way, they wrapped him with grave clothes, the strips. And most people believe that they wrapped their feet together all the way up. So the only way Lazarus can get out of that grave is hop. He hops out. Maybe that's where the Easter Bunny connection came from. I don't know. But he hops out. And he's standing there, and people are watching this. And then Jesus said, hey, take the grave clothes off. Let him go. And all of a sudden, they were taking the grave clothes off. Isn't it beautiful? That when you have a resurrection story and he changes your life, you're not alone. You got people to help you not go back to Egypt, not live like you used to. Take the grave clothes off. You don't look that way anymore. You don't need that anymore. And that's what a church is all about, is to come alongside of you to help you, to encourage you, and to remind you daily, hey, man, we're new. We are a resurrected person. The old has passed away, and everything has become new. Do you believe that can happen to you? That you can leave the tomb you've built for yourself, or the world is built, or Satan is built. He came to bind us. He came to destroy us. Can you actually believe Jesus is calling your name today? When Lazarus came out, the Bible says that later they tried to kill him. Now, who is they? The religious people. John chapter 12 says they tried to kill Lazarus. Why are you killing Lazarus? Because he is a really good witness that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. I mean, what are you going to do with a billboard like that? What are you going to do when you go to Publix and there's Lazarus? You're like, man, I went to your funeral last week. I'm going to see what he's buying. I'm going to check it out and see, because whatever you're eating, I'm eating, because, dude, you're amazing. I actually think he might have been in Whole Foods or Fresh Market. But anyway, what do you do? You try to silence the witness. You try to kill the person that is the greatest evidence. Guess what? You are that person. When Jesus comes in your life, you have a resurrection story. And the world sometimes doesn't want to hear. Your friends don't want to hear it. Because I promise you, there's an enemy that wants to silence the truth that Jesus is the resurrection. But don't you quit talking about it. Don't let the enemy silence you. Just keep telling the world, I have a resurrection story, and let me tell you about it. I was dead, and Jesus showed up, and I'm alive today. I just think we can give him praise for that. God can do anything. Do you believe? Listen to these stories. They believe they have a resurrection story. Listen.
It was after college when I packed up my 1996 Dodge Neon and drove from Florida to Los Angeles, California.
Eu nasci e cresci no Brasil, mas sonhava em morar nos Estados Unidos.
I was born and raised in Houston, Texas.
I played soccer my whole life.
Para alcançar os meus sonhos, eu abri uma empresa.
After years of training and hard work, I was finally ready to begin my career as a dramatic opera singer.
I was familiar with church, but as I got older, soccer took up more of my time. It's always been my dream to play professionally. It was all I cared about.
I got a contract and started to perform professionally. I was also surrounded by a lot of pressure to be the best.
Em 2020, o mundo parou por conta da pandemia. Eu tive que usar todo o meu investimento para manter a empresa funcionando.
To cope, I began using alcohol and drugs. I fell into a toxic relationship until one day my coping mechanism began to destroy me. I lost everything, my savings, my townhouse, even my job. I was homeless. The only place I could sleep was in my car. I was 27 years old, and I thought my life was over.
Eu me exaustei de trabalhar e entrei em depressão, deixando minha família de lado. Eu achava que tudo dependia de mim. Eu acreditava em Deus, mas não conhecia Jesus. E não achava que Ele podia me ajudar. Até que meu filho foi internado e estava inconsciente. E ao mesmo tempo eu tinha pessoas me ligando e me cobrando. Essa foi a gota d'água para mim. Eu pedi a Deus para que Ele me levasse. Eu não queria mais viver aqui.
When I was at my lowest, I turned to Jesus. I grew up religious, but I never had a relationship with God. But that day in my car, I repented and gave my life to Christ.
Em minha angústia, eu clamei pelo nome de Jesus pela primeira vez. Desde aquele momento, ele começou a trabalhar em mim. Eu comecei a ler a Bíblia sozinho.
I was invited to student service. I found real friends who were believers, and I began to grow in my faith.
At the age of 6, I attended a tent revival and heard a preacher tell me how Jesus Christ had died for my sins. I may have been young, but I still remember kneeling down on the sawdust floor and asking Jesus to come into my heart. That moment has stayed with me all my life.
Let Last summer, I attended Camp Orlando. I put my faith in Jesus, and I was baptized.
Eu decidi me batizar no meu aniversário. A minha jornada foi longa, mas naquele dia, Deus me deu recomeço.
I wanted to be obedient to the one who have saved me. When I went under that water, I don't know how to explain it, but it changed me forever.
Perhaps my greatest honor was the day my granddaughter called me and asked if I could baptize her. Baptizing another believer is such a privilege because it's a reminder of what Jesus has done for us.
I still play soccer, but now I understand my true purpose. The closer I've grown with God, the more opportunities He's given me to use my gifts for Him. My name is Alexander.
My name is Dan.
Meu nome é Thaíse.
My name is Kinsey.
This is my resurrection story.
E essa é a minha história de ressurreição.
This is my resurrection story.
This is my resurrection story.
Do you have a resurrection story? Do you believe He is the resurrection and the life? Do you have a resurrection story? Isn't that awesome? Man, when she does that, it's like, oh, that's it. That's what He wants to do in your life today. So there's some in this room and on the stream, maybe you've never taken that step to believe. And you can really hear Him calling your name. You can hear Him asking you what He asked Martha, do you believe? And I pray that today your answer is, yes, I believe. I want to pray for you. And I want to just lead you in a simple prayer for you to say, Jesus, I believe You are the resurrection and the life, and today I'm coming out of the grave. I'm leaving a tomb, and I am following You the rest of my days. Can we bow together? And on the stream, just maybe pause wherever you are, whatever it is you're doing. Would you tell Him something like this? Jesus, I believe. I believe You are the resurrection and the life. And today, I'm coming out of the grave. I'm leaving the tomb behind. Thank You for dying for me. Thank You for taking my sin, bearing it with You, and then walking out on the third day. And today, Jesus, on this Easter Sunday, I'm following You, and I'll follow You the rest of my days. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks again for listening to the First Orlando Podcast. For more information like our service times, location, and other contact information, be sure to visit us online at firstorlando.com. Have a great week.